Another thing that's continued since we spoke last was this gap between those that affiliate themselves with Democrat and Republican. And in fact, what we saw, even though that gap was closing just a bit at the beginning of this year, in this most recent quarter, and so it was measured in August, it was the largest gap we've seen since the presidential election.
Welcome aboard. It's episode 50 of the J.R. Heff Show. Returning to the podcast to discuss consumer sentiment in Virginia is Dr. Alice Louise Cassens, the John S. Shannon Endowed Professor of Economics at Roanoke College. She is also the senior analyst for this particular data at the Institute for Policy and Opinion Research. Overall, consumer confidence is good, but there are a few things that are concerning, including expectations about the coming year and a huge gap between self-identified Republicans and Democrats on how they think the economy is doing. Later on in the program, I ask Dr. Cassens about what Virginia could do with $3 billion, particularly with respect to education spending, tax cuts, or potentially saving the money for a rainy day. She has some prudent fiscal advice for our legislators. That said, when we did record this podcast, we were all bracing for Hurricane Florence, and her family was in the crosshairs in the Wilmington area, right where the storm made landfall. She does tell me that everyone there is safe, but they are without power and likely will be this entire week. The storm certainly has impacted our neighbors significantly, so please consider a donation to the American Red Cross. Information on how to do so is located in the show notes. Our thoughts and prayers are certainly with those affected by the storm, including those that were affected by the tornadoes today right here in Richmond. So I can't thank Dr. Cassens enough for coming on the show at this time and really relaying some very important information regarding our economy and as it relates to public policy and the political decisions that we're making right now. And so without further ado, let's get underway. Alice, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. We're all preparing here for the hurricane. We're recording just a few days before release of the podcast over the weekend. I know you have family in Wilmington, and you're over in Roanoke, which could see some effects of this as well. But how is everything going for you and for your family?
Things are going well. My mother and sister and rest of my family are hunkered down in Wilmington. And here in Roanoke, people are a little worried that we might get some flooding, similar to what happened in the 80s here. But it's kind of wait and see, just like it is in many places.
Yeah, that was one of the things when we were trying to decide. We live in southern Chesapeake, close to North Carolina, and when we were trying to decide the trajectory of the storm and where we were going to go, obviously our minds wandered to our daughter, who lives in Blacksburg, goes to Virginia Tech, and we stay a lot in Roanoke. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, we might just ride the storm out there. And when I looked at the storm track, at one point it had more rain being deposited in that neck of the woods than actually here. So hopefully Florence doesn't affect anybody too terribly. Our thoughts and prayers are definitely with everybody in Carolina and certainly in the Roanoke area as well, should the storm and turn into a tropical depression and move northward. So what is the biggest concern regarding flooding in that general area? Where does it have a tendency to affect?
Well, the Roanoke River, which runs right through the downtown area over near the hospital and whatnot, that can flood severely and come up on the highways. And then there's some creeks that run in various places that typically have very little water. But we had a big downpour in July. There was some flooding in areas and some creeks that put, a good couple of feet of water on the road. It dissipated quickly, but that was a very short rain. And so it'll be a big test to see if any modifications they made from VDOT are going to be helpful for a sustained rain.
Absolutely. Well, Alice, I know that you're not a meteorologist or a topographer or anything like that, but it's nice to chat about the different parts of the state and get kind of the eyes on scene vision of what's happening. So, folks in Northern Virginia or perhaps in Richmond, you know, they haven't been out to the Roanoke area. And when we start talking about flooding in Roanoke, how could that possibly happen? Yeah, it's nice to hear why and where and how, that kind of thing. So let's talk a little bit about this economic study that you guys put together. The last time we spoke, a couple of things had not happened. Number one, we had not inaugurated a new governor. The General Assembly had not yet met, and also tax cuts had not been passed federally at the federal level yet, and so we had tax cuts. And so in 9 months since we spoke in December about consumer sentiment, there have been some major things that have changed. There also, you know, we look at international developments in terms of tariffs and trade wars. We kind of hinted that might be coming down the road when we spoke in December, and certainly now we are seeing, I don't know if you can call it a full-scale trade war with China, but certainly the imposition of tariffs as they continue to escalate with China and the Trump administration is ongoing. So talk about the sentiment of the average Virginian today.
Well, since we spoke last time, we saw a big jump in sentiment in the February, so the first quarter of this year. In fact, it hit a historical high level. So people were quite positive about the Virginia economy and the national economy. And since then, of the second and in this third quarter of this year, we've seen it tail off just a bit. But still, sentiment, even though it's falling, is higher than its average. So it's higher than is typical. And what's driving the number still remaining fairly high is people's feelings about today. So their finances now compared to a year ago, they speak very highly of that. And they cite things such as rising incomes as being the primary reason why their finances have improved over the last year. And another thing that's continued since we spoke last was this gap between those that affiliate themselves with Democrat and Republican. And in fact, what we saw, even though that gap was closing just a bit at the beginning of this year, in this most recent quarter, and so it was measured in August, it was the largest gap we've seen since the presidential election.
So before we get too far afield, and for those who haven't listened to the last podcast that you were on, can you define what consumer sentiment is? How do we get these notions of, you know, how people feel about the economy or feel about their wages or feel about their prospects of the future? How do you get that, what might be a subjective notion, into a number? How does that turn into a number?
Okay, so yes, it is a subjective number, and unlike other economic indicators like the unemployment rate and gross domestic product, which is based on actual data that's out there, this is based on a survey. And so we ask people questions. So we call and get 600 completed surveys of individuals that live in the Commonwealth, and we ask them questions about their finances today compared to a year ago, what they think is going to happen with their finances over the next year. We ask them questions about the future of the economy with respect to unemployment, so on and so forth. So we ask them a variety of questions about the past year and the coming year. And then we take those answers to the survey questions, and we turn them into numbers, you know, a one versus a negative one. And then we put them together into what we call an index. The methodology we use is the same that is used by the University of Michigan since the 1960s, I believe, but certainly for several decades. The University of Michigan has been calculating the consumer sentiment index for the whole country. For that, they interview 500 people. So we actually interview more people and only people in Virginia compared to their measure. That's 500 people for the whole country. But our methodology is the same. It's all based on five simple questions about people's perceptions of the economy and their finances.
And obviously, this is a measure of their confidence, and I think it's somewhat intuitive to understand why this is important. But can you explain just, you know, why do we do this?
Yes, it's a good quick measure to let people know if you're a policymaker or doing research or just concerned about the economy. If people are feeling things aren't going well, they tend to behave in that way. So if I'm worried about the future of the economy, and so are lots of people like me, I may not buy as many things. I may be worried that I need to save some money. And so as far as the state government is concerned, you could see in the future, the near future, reduction in tax revenues. And so, of course, the opposite is true. If I'm feeling happy about today and tomorrow, I have a very positive outlook, I typically behave accordingly. And so I may spend a little more money, go on a trip, and not feel like I need to save as much for a rainy day, which, as far as the state is concerned, could lead to increased tax revenues. And of course, if you're the businesses where people are buying, you're going to see more people coming into your stores, more people buying things. You may need to hire more people. So we could see unemployment going down, so on and so forth.
You spoke about this at the beginning regarding what the consumer sentiment is today. But I just wanted to dive into the numbers just a little bit, particularly the first graph. I am looking at the year to year, right? And if you look at starting in that is November of 2016 through August of 2017, it's a step down. Okay, so everything is going down. And then, like you said, there was an uptick at the beginning of this year, and it's stepping down again. Do you normally see that sawtooth effect when you do this?
Things are cyclical in a sense. And so in the summers, we tend to see fairly robust numbers, although in August 17, it was an outlier. We saw a fairly low number. But there is volatility, and some of that comes from, because again, these are people's perceptions. And so a person may, when we call them on the phone, they may have been watching the news and have a negative outlook about the future of the economy, et cetera. And so that may influence their answer, since these are based upon perception. So because all of us are emotional and change our minds about a variety of things and are influenced by what's surrounding us, yes, they do fluctuate over time.
From the year to year, from November 16 to November 17, there was a pretty steep decline. But as we've been looking at, the final three quarters there, February 17, That's May 17 and then August 17. So quarter one, quarter two, and quarter three of 2017 compared to quarter one, quarter two, and quarter three of this year, each quarter has seen an increase over the previous quarter of the previous year.
Correct.
Yeah. So when you look at that, what does that indicate to you? Does that indicate to you just general enthusiasm among Virginians?
Yes. When we do ask some follow-up questions for some of these questions to kind of probe for why they're giving us the answers they're giving us. And one thing I've noticed over the course of the past year is that increasingly a reason given for optimism is increased incomes. And so you can interpret that in a couple of ways. They could be getting raises at work, or it could be they're seeing more in their paycheck because less tax is being taken out. And so I attribute that. Of course, there could be lots of factors going in there, but I attribute to the fact largely that people are seeing more money, and so they feel good about that.
I was also looking at the historical graph that you provided. I want to say that's figure number three, which is the lifetime values for the Virginia indexes.
Yes.
And when you look specifically at consumer sentiment, I see in 2012, the index was roughly around 82, and now it's 94. So over the span of 6 years, it's gone up by 12 points. How would you characterize that level of increase? Why do you think over time Virginians are becoming more confident?
Well, if we think back to what was going on in 2011 and just before that, you know, we were coming out of one of the greatest recessions we'd seen in decades. And so we didn't start doing the survey until November 11th. So we don't have any pre-recession data. We only have post a little bit post the recession. But I would say that people, you know, the economy was still recovering. And so people weren't sure, was this really a long-term recovery? Or are we going to go back into the recession? You know, every time you saw the stock market tumble or got a bad economic indicator, everyone panicked that was going to be 2007 again. And so it takes a while to get over that. And so I think this general upward trend has been that we continue to see good economic news. Businesses, it takes time to grow. You know, as people start to buy more, you slowly add in new employees. And so I think this is just a sign of we've had a very good economy. And in fact, we've had one of the longest expansions we've ever seen in the United States.
Yeah, and obviously the president is certainly trying to take great credit for that. And I think we're starting to hear the previous administration also speak about their economic policies as potentially leading to this. And so that gets us into the political question that you ask regarding how people are enthusiastic and excited about the economy. And not surprising, I mean, in the midst of the Obama administration, the first data point that I see here, you have Democrats in terms of their confidence at roughly about 105, and then, you know, the gap to Republicans is nearly, what is that? It's about 45 points. It's about a 45-point deviation. And then you flip that. They actually came to some sort of equilibrium right just before the election in August of 2016. And then now the gap is just, I think, even wider than that large gap of about 45 points. Right now, Republicans have a confidence of nearly 120, and Democrats have a confidence of about 75. So again, that's still, what is that? That's still 25. That's over 50 points.
It's close to 50 points.
Difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah, So although the confidence that Democrats currently have is higher than the confidence that Republicans had back in 2012, are we really that partisan with our beliefs? I guess is really the question on the economy.
I think these numbers show that one takeaway for me from this. Is that consumer sentiment, if you break it overall, it's a good measure, right? It tells us about what the typical person is thinking. But when you dig in a little deeper and you break it out by, say, party, you really see that people's answers, if you put them into groups, say Republican versus Democrat, their answers really do respond to if their team is in office. Right. And so if that's true, if you affiliate Republican and we have a Republican president, Republican control of Congress, then you're feeling good. And the opposite was true back in, as you show, August 2013. And so I think, you know, our feelings about politics do creep in to how we answer these questions. I think it's, yes, we don't go very far back in time, you know, decades with the survey, because we haven't been doing that long. But I suspect if you did, it's probably gotten worse in recent years, as we have this 24-hour business cycle, a news cycle going on. People are quite partisan. And I think that shows up when you subdivide this metric by party affiliation.
So how are we doing then? If this is the consumer sentiment, what is the economy in terms of a snapshot today? What are your characterizations of the current economy, say, compared to where it was in 2013?
So I like to look at a host of measures, consumer sentiment just being one. But if you look at a host of them, such as gross domestic product, if you look at the unemployment rate, the labor force participation rate, if you throw them all together and stir it up and see what you get, I'd say the economy is doing very well right now. Compared to where we were, say, in 2013, our growth is much more robust. We're, you know, the labor force participation rate is finally starting to budge. And so we're getting people into the labor force that we weren't even just a couple of years ago. So I think those are all very positive signs. Now, I'm an economist, and so I always think about when's this going to end, right? Because the business cycle is not dead, and it's never going to die. And so we are due for a recession, like it or not. There are shocks to the economy that are beyond our control, and we will go into a contraction at some point. When that is, I don't know. If I did, I'd be a billionaire. But we will probably sooner rather than later go into recession. That's just the nature of the beast. But I'd say right now, the snapshot today is things are very good.
What truly is the pressure on inflation right now? And do you anticipate seeing interest rates go up? Do you see the Fed possibly increasing these rates? And is that necessarily a bad thing?
No, I think when the Fed takes actions, like they've already stated that they're going to raise rates. And so when you see them doing that, you can almost think of that as the economy is doing pretty darn well, because I believe that the data that I've looked at suggests that the inflationary pressures are coming from the demand side. So we're buying a lot of stuff. And so that's putting upward pressure on demand. And so if you want to slow the economy down so you don't get prices going out of, going out of control and get high inflation rates, you want to tap the brakes on the economy just a little bit. And one way the Fed does that is to raise rates, because it makes it more expensive to borrow money. And so it just slows things down a little bit. And so you can look at it in a way that things are going very well and they just want to keep it going well for as long as possible. And so they just want to tap the brakes just a little bit.
So it's awesome to speak with you, and I appreciate it's been 9 months since we had our last conversation, and it might be another 9 months to another year before we talk again. And it's a snapshot again of the Virginia economy. The big public policy debate that I think that we're going to have coming up in 2019 is going to be what to do with the $3 billion that is currently being considered for education. I guess, there's this windfall of money that the General Assembly has. From an economic perspective, and I don't want to put you on the spot and say, what should the General Assembly do? but my question is are we at a good point public policy wise to spend money on capital, or would it be better to perhaps stimulate the economy by giving more money back to taxpayers? Or is it good to save? Where do you see the greatest economic impact of those different courses of action?
The way I take it is, as I mentioned, we're due for a recession. Things are very good right now. And you don't want people losing sight of the fact that we won't sustain this economic growth forever. We will go into a contraction. So I'm always a fan of having something in the coffers for the rainy day when things do go poorly. So you don't have to take drastic measures. That being said, of course, if you can encourage people, incentivize people by giving them more money in their paycheck, that's a good thing. And of course, I'm always a fan of education. So I'd have to dig deeper into the numbers for Virginia just to see which would be the best marginal benefit for that next tax dollar or that next dollar that the General Assembly has. And for that, I have not done that. But I certainly would hope that they do take a conservative approach given we're due for a recession, so let's not just spend it all in one place.
Alice, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Is there anything that we didn't cover in the study that I might have missed?
No, I think you got all of the high points as usual.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. Dr. Alice Louise Cassens is a senior analyst for the Institute for Policy and Opinion Research at Roanoke College. Alice, thanks again for being on the show. Where can folks learn more about your work?
They can either go to roanoke.edu, and the easiest way is to go through Google and my name. I have a lot of my research up on ResearchGate, but again, if you just Google my name, you can find out all about the stuff that I do research on.
Awesome. And I think it's at Roanoke Econ. Is that where they can follow you on Twitter or something like that?
I have one, but also Running Economist, RNNING Economist is my personal awesome. Twitter account.
Terrific. Well, we'll make sure that
because I run and I'm an economist.
That's right. Well, we'll have all those links up in the show notes. And hopefully the Roanoke River stays nice and doesn't crest or do anything bad.
Yes.
And most importantly, I know that your thoughts and prayers, all our thoughts and prayers are with everybody in Carolina, and hopefully your family goes through this without any problems.
Well, thank you very much, and best of wishes to you all in the Hampton Roads, Virginia Beach area.
That's going to do it for another episode of the J.R. Heff Show. Again, thank you to Dr. Cassens. I hope you enjoyed the show, and if you got something out of it, please consider sharing it with friends. If you'd like to follow me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, you can find me at J.R. Heff. Thanks again for supporting the podcast. Until next time, this is J.R. Heff. It's Liberty Call.